you're in for a real treat. Our choir always does a tremendous job. Pam and Sam working with the choir always come up with just a wonderful program, and we are blessed that we are able to enjoy that this Christmas season. I want to make a couple announcements as we begin. Out in the foyer area there, you probably noticed some boards. They're from our homeschool group here, the Tapestry of West Columbus Christian Homeschoolers. And they meet here periodically on Thursdays, and they did some projects. They also have a little stand there with a few goodies on it. If you'd like to drop a donation into them, that'd be fine. They would appreciate that. On the other side, as you leave, there'll be refreshments for everyone also, and there's no donation necessary for those. So, but anyway, it's a busy week. Also, out there, there's a celebratory cake for Dick, who's turning 80. His wife, Verna, who is our secretary, wanted to have it. She brought a cake in for him, and so we can share that together also. So there's a lot. Don't leave quickly. There'll be room in the, if it's crowded in the foyer, you can take your cake and coffee and go into the fellowship hall. There's plenty of tables back there that you can sit and talk and share some time with if you'd like. MOPS this Wednesday. If you're a part of the MOPS or like to be a part of the MOPS, it's always a great time to be with the children. We get a chance to share with them while their mothers are able to share with one another and get a break from the busy day. And then there's a ladies' craft night this Tuesday night. If you're a lady, I suppose they would not allow gentlemen, but if you're a lady and you like crafts, from 6 to 9 Tuesday night here at the church, they'll be doing crafts, and you're welcome to join them in that also. I wanted to let you know we had a phone call this morning. I don't know how serious, whatever, but Mary Woodyard is in the hospital as we're sitting. She had some kind of a dizzy spell type thing, and Donna took her is in the hospital with her anyway. And so as we pray here in just a few moments, keep her especially in your prayer. Also, we want to remember the folks in Kentucky that were so rudely interrupted the other evening by that thunderstorm and tornadoes that destroyed a lot of the city of Mayfield and some other places. But anyway, we'll pray, and then Heavenly Father, as we've gathered here this morning, we are deeply grateful and thankful that we have this place of worship. The Lord, that you give us opportunity to gather with one another and share in the Word of God, share in the praises of God, share in the celebration of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we consider the many places around the world where this opportunity is not available, we do understand and acknowledge the specialness of our ability to do this, Lord. And we pray that the privilege is continually ours, and that your name be able to be uplifted freely and in joyous celebration. Heavenly Father, we pray for those that are going through the tough times right now, Lord. Their lives have been met with a devastating situation. There'll be many folks there helping them. We pray for those that are there in the name of Jesus Christ, who offer this helping hand and also the Word of God and the love of Christ, that they might share it in those times. And even in this devastation, that souls might find their way to salvation and a knowledge of our Savior. Heavenly Father, we pray for those in the hospital that can't be with us right now. We ask your special touch on them, your encouragement with them, and for those that are with them, taking care of them. And for this whole group of folks, we ask a special blessing, Heavenly Father. We are indeed grateful. We acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. We praise your holy name. We lift up all to you, the gracious Savior of us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted to, before I invite those up here who'll be lighting the candle, it's been a busy week. And Kathy and I had the opportunity this week to work down at the concession stand, and Larry and Judy was also with us last night at the West Jefferson Trees, the park down there, and we were serving food. And a young lady come up and said she wanted some hot dogs. And I asked her, would she like a left-hand or a right-hand hot dog? And she kind of looked at me, you know, like, what's wrong with you, guy, you know? Well, then I realized how silly the question was, because anybody knows you can always turn the hot dog around and eat it the other way. Trying to bring a little joy in your life. And with that, I'm going to invite the Neely family up here to light the Advent candle of joy. And that's where true joy comes from, knowing Jesus Christ is our Savior. And from seeing this little one comes up here, isn't she just a doll baby? We love her.
The Christmas carol rings out. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. We relight the candles of hope. And of peace. And we now light the candle of joy. Christmas is meant to be a joyous season, not because of the gifts, festivities, and decorations that express our joy, but because the Redeemer, the King, has come. Receive him and you will experience real joy.
From Isaiah 35:10, but only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. From Luke 1, verses 41 through 44, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy."
Heavenly Father, just as the unborn baby, John the Baptist, leaped for joy at the sound of Mary's voice while she carried the Christ child in her womb, may we experience the unbridled joy of hearing again the event of the birth of our King. May our souls glorify the Lord and our spirits rejoice in God our Savior. Amen.
Thank you. And now I'm going to give you another chance to express your joy. We'll be taking the offering before our choir presents the program to us.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. And long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Glory.
We'll be right back.
Together we make a difference, and the darkness soon is gone, as the flame goes on and on. Light of hope, light of peace, come over the world, let there be
Well, good morning, everyone. You enjoyed that so far? Then you should enjoy the next hour that I have for you here, so. Just kidding. If you know me, I can speak an hour's worth of message in 10 minutes. You just have to listen fast if I do it that way. The third week of Advent, the time we hope that our Lord's coming back, and we look forward to that, we anticipate it. This morning we're talking about joy, the joy of the Lord to be exact. Now some people think happiness and joy are the same thing, but they're not the same thing, are they? Happiness can go away, but joy can go through all kinds of things and still remain. Happiness is influenced by circumstances, and joy is not based on our circumstances. We have a lot of problems today, don't we? A lot of stress, people not treating people well, not feeling loved and accepted, you don't have enough money. Your joy goes away real quick with that, doesn't it? You have a bad day, somebody says something to you that you don't expect them to say to you. But joy is different. Joy is not based on your feelings, it's a relationship. When it's based on Christ, nothing can make that change. Our joy is based on Jesus. S.D. Gordon says, joy is a distinctly Christian word and a Christian thing. It's the reverse of happiness. Happiness is the result of what happens of an agreeable sort. And joy has its springs deep down inside, springs that never run dry, no matter what happens. And only Jesus can give that joy. He had joy in singing in his heart, I believe, even in the shadow of the cross, even though he knew it was going to happen. 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9 says, though they have not seen him, they love him. Even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the end results of your faith, salvation of your souls. That's the thing we look forward to, isn't it? Salvation of our souls. We're going to be saved, go to heaven, and have a reunion, a big party with those people that have gone on before us. So as a Christian, you have something to look forward to, don't you? You have a joy that's set before you. No matter what happens, no matter what your life is like, no matter what you're going through, there's joy that's ahead, that's coming up. Theopedia describes joy as a state of mind and orientation of the heart. It's a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. You feel content today? A lot of people don't, do they? You have COVID, you have Omicron, you have Supercron, Nextcron, and whatever else is going to happen next, right? We have all that stuff coming, but you don't need to worry about it because God's in control of everything. He knows what's happening. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. And you know what the other side is going to be. So whatever happens, we know what the end is, don't we? If you read a book and go to the end, you know who wins. So if you go to the Bible in the end, you know that Jesus and those who accepted him all win, don't they? Eternity forever with him in glory. Charles Spurgeon says this, there's a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful. And when I was a kid, I remember the cough medicine we took that about made you throw up, right? Nowadays, it tastes like all kinds of nice things, but it was horrible then. But joy is a sweet taste, comforting to the heart. The blessedness of joy is very contagious, and so is those who are dolorous. You know what that word means? Dolorous? I had to look that up. It means those who are sorrowful, sad, unhappy, or depressed, because they bring a plague into the house. So if you have a house full of joy and somebody walks in that's the downer guy or whatever you want to call him, Downer Debbie, I think it used to be called, you can tell it. Everybody's like, oh, they're here. And everything just kind of goes downhill, right? Hopefully that's not you. That's when all the birds stop singing and everything just goes sour. Music stops, the record scratches. Some of the younger people don't know what a record is, but it's a round thing that plays music when it spins around. But the grace of joy is contagious. Joy is the wheel, the oil that wheels. The oil? Okay. Anyway, it's oil. It lubricates things, makes it do well, not squeak. So when you have joy, it makes everybody else happy. It's contagious. They get happy and you're happy. When you're laughing, they showed a video, if you watch YouTube or AOL, this guy was on a bus and he started laughing. And the more he laughed, people kept looking at each other and they kept laughing and they were laughing. I don't know what they're laughing about, but everybody was laughing because this guy was laughing. So when you laugh, it's contagious, isn't it? But also when you're sorrowful and sad and mad and rude, that's contagious. So God wants us to be joyful at all times, in all circumstances, not because of the circumstance, but because of the joy set before us through the circumstance. John Piper says, joy is unique to Christians. Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul and produced by the Holy Spirit. as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in a world, in a word, and in this world. I'm slowing down a little bit. Pam told me 5 minutes, but you know what? She's not in charge right now, so I can go as long as I want. Rick Warren says this, "Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation." So we need to know no matter what, it's going to be okay. How many times do you go through a situation you wonder what's going to happen? What's the end? How's this going to be? I'm worried about the result. We don't need to worry because this world is not the end, right? It's what's happening next that's the real thing in our life that's going to last forever. That's eternity. This is only a short glimpse of what happens to us. Joy is the reason why so many people are able to go through trying circumstances, even a martyr's death. Look at the disciples that were crucified upside down and all those things that happened to them because they knew what was set ahead of them. They knew this life wasn't where it was at. It's what's coming up next. Jesus could go to the cross because of the joy that was set before him. Think about that. He knew the pain that was going to happen. He knew the suffering, but he knew that after that, we would be free from our sin. He would let us go to heaven, give us a chance to be his children. There was going to be victory as he rose from the dead and proclaimed that he was the God of heaven. How's it going to be when he comes back with the trumpets and all those things happening, when people see that he's actually the Christ and every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord? We get a glimpse of that with a pregnant woman. You're like, what in the world are you talking about? When you go through pregnancy and all the pains, and I'm thanking the Lord I'm not a woman right now, all the pain that goes through childbirth, but for the joy that is set before you to see that child in your arms and say, this was worth it all because I have this little baby, this little child. You can get a glimpse of that for a person that needs a knee replacement. It's snapping and cracking and popping all over the place, right? Limping, you can hardly get up and walk. But they go through the operation, they go through the pain, they go through the rehab for the joy that's set before them so they can walk around normally again. So there's things we go through because of the joy that's going to come next. Everybody's looking for joy. Look at the marketing companies today. They all promise you joy, right? Buy this special hand cream. Buy this special whatever stuff that makes your face plump up and get rid of all the wrinkles, right? And then you're going to be joyful and happy because you're going to look so much younger until your lip swells up on one side because you're allergic, right? But they promise you joy. Sleep on this mattress, the best sleep ever. Eat at this restaurant. Drive this car. Wear this special dress. Every commercial portrays joy, doesn't it? But that's not joy. That's temporary happiness. It's going to go away. It's not going to last. When the car breaks down or the dress doesn't fit anymore or whatever it is, the joy you had is gone. This is supposed to make me happy forever. No, it doesn't work that way. Only Christ can make you happy forever. Max Lucado says that everybody wants joy. Everyone promises to give us joy, but can anyone deliver it? Can anybody really deliver you joy today? But God wants to be joyful people. He wants to be like that little baby that laughs and cuddles and coos, and everybody around goes, oh, isn't that cute? He wants it to be that way, not to act like babies, but to have the joy of a child, that we can see joy in everything. Remember seeing little kids lay on the ground and watching little bugs crawl around, like, oh, this is so cool. We're like, get away from that bug, don't touch that thing. But they're seeing joy in everything around that God created that we need to look back and see. We get so caught up in our problems and situations, sometimes we forget that we have God as our Heavenly Father. And this world is only temporary. We don't need to worry about it. But the joy God offers is different than the one promised at the dealership or the shopping mall. He doesn't want to put a temporary smile on your face. He doesn't want a shallow happiness. But he wants you to have a joy that's deep-seated, heartfelt, honest to goodness, strong sense of joy that can weather the most difficult storms. That's what the world needs, don't they? Not another book or another solution or another 5 steps, right? We need the joy of Christ. If Christ came in everybody's heart, we'd have a different world, wouldn't we? And it'll be called, heaven. Someday we're going to have that, aren't we? Peter referred to this kind of joy in 1 Peter 1:8 and 9. Though you haven't seen him, you love him. Even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The end result of your faith is salvation of your soul. You're going to be saved. And the good thing is, those who have gone on before that accepted Christ are going to be there waiting for you when you get there. So whenever you do any kind of a funeral, if it's a Christian funeral, we had a thing last night at the gun club for Dan's dad that passed away, who was a Christian, it's never goodbye. It's always see you later, because I'm going to see you again. Who is Peter talking to? He's talking to God's chosen people who are away from their homes and scattered all around the countries. Peter was speaking to persecuted Christians. They've been driven from their cities, separated from families. Their rights had been revoked, their property taken, their possessions had been taken. Their future had been taken, but their joy had not been taken. Kind of sounds like America, doesn't it now? This has been taken, that's been taken, this has been taken. But your joy can't be taken. What a source of joy for Christ. Because it wasn't possessions or positions or land or food or anything else, but it was Christ that gave them their joy, and that stuff can't be taken away. What are your circumstances today? What's your joy based on? Is it on Christ or what you have or what you lost? Maybe it was your health, your house, a loved one, a friend. But we need to have, that's called contingent joy if it's based on something else. Contingent joy is always dependent upon circumstances. I'll be happy if, and I'll be happy when. You hear people say that? Well, I'll be happy as soon as I retire. As soon as I get this. Man, when that happens, I'm gonna be joyful. I'm gonna have it all. But they're based on circumstances. Think of the person that thinks, when I get that car, it's gonna be great. They buy the car at the dealership, 2 weeks later it breaks down, they're like, this stupid car, I hate this thing. What happened to their joy? They lost it because it was based on something. Oh, when I get married, I'll be happy. And then your spouse chew their mouth open. What? You didn't do that? We were dating. Well, that's really me. I get this new job. I have a baby. Whatever it is, if they don't get it, then they lose it. So they become sour. But the joy of the Lord means finding joy in people that know Him, that can encourage us. Because no one can take your Christ away, can they? They can take your home, they can take your house, they can take your car, they can take your health, but they can't take your Christ, because He's there forever. Sickness can't take it away. Failure can't take it. Betrayal can't take it. Disappointment can't take it. Nothing can take it. Sometimes joy may seem elusive. Sometimes it takes work, doesn't it? To get up in the morning and say, this is a great day, as you fall out of bed. You get back up, don't you? Say, despite this, it's still going to be a great day. Well, remember the night when Jesus was born, the shepherds were in the fields watching their flocks, and an angel appeared and said, don't be afraid, for I bring you the most joyful news ever announced. Some say glad tidings of great joy. What if somebody said to you, I'm going to tell you the most joyous news ever announced? You're like, what? I wonder what it is. What's that joy going to be? And they say, a Savior's been born, a Messiah. So where do we find joy today? What gives us joy? You can look all over the place and never find it unless you turn to God's Word and turn to Christ. Your joy needs to be contagious, doesn't it? Don't walk around with a sour face saying you're a Christian. If you have a sour face, just don't say it. The Bible says sometimes it's better not to say anything, right, than to say something you shouldn't say. That's not exact words, but that's kind of my interpretation. But to be a Christian means to have joy, doesn't it? Doesn't mean you're always bubbly and jumping around and smiley and everything else. But it means you have a joy that's consistent with Christ and saying, I'm going to make it through because I know what's at the end of this. I know what's coming up. I know what it's going to be. Like when you tell your kids you know you're going to McDonald's and you're going to get an ice cream cone if you behave, right? You say, well, I know what's coming if I behave. The Bible says if you accept Christ and do what I tell you to do, you know what the end holds. If you accept me as Savior, you know heaven's your reward. And it's not just you, it's everybody else you can tell. So if you had some kind of big party going on, you invite everybody you can, don't you? Come on to this is going to be great. Shouldn't we do that as Christians? Come on, heaven's going to be awesome. You need to know what it's going to be like. That's what joy is, isn't it? Great joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word this morning, Lord, that you talk about joy and the joy we can have. Thanks for the choir as they're going to finish up with another song. And then we're going to go to the fellowship hall and have desserts and share with each other. So God, I pray you bless us today that we can have the joy of Christ in our hearts and our lives, be an example to the world, and those who don't know him will be intrigued and questioning and want to accept Christ and know who he is and what this Jesus is all about. Little baby born in a manger that came to live and die and save our souls. So let us bring joy back to Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful, wasn't it? Thanks to our audio and visual people back here as well that helped this to become. Richard, please stand up. He does pretty well. Verna, you've done well with him. It's his 80th birthday tomorrow, so let's give him a round of applause. So please stay for some cake and refreshments. We have refreshments in the fellowship hall, cake in the entryway, and now we'll just close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for being with us, for this choir, for this cantata, for singing praises to you, for bringing joy to our hearts, Lord, that we can express to others. Thank you for saving our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.